Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our crucified and risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, and then as a widow until she was 84. She did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day, and coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. Why? Why in the world is this little tiny snippet, only a few verses, mentioned about some lady named Anna? I mean, I think we can all appreciate the fact that Luke pays close attention to detail in his gospel, right? I mean, we all like to know the little details, but why in the world is it important to mention Anna at all? Well, honestly, there are several reasons. One, she's 84. 84 years old, and God still has use of Anna. Her work's not done. In fact, none of our work is done until the Lord calls us to himself in heaven. But this morning, I think it's important for us to know that in Anna, God highlights the importance of women. You see, in the Old Testament, there were several women prophets, right? The most well-known are probably Miriam and Deborah. Anna, on the other hand, is the only prophet mentioned in the New Testament, the prophetess. But what does that mean, right? What is the job of a prophet? Well, first, prophets, they're directly chosen by God. For one reason or another, God chooses somebody to be his voice at a particular time in a particular place. It's not like, you know, one day somebody just woke up and said, you know what, I think I'm going to go apply for that prophet job. Not the way it worked, right? It's not like they got like nudges from their family like, hey, you know, I think you'd be a really good candidate to go be God's prophet. No, it was more like, you know, if we want to put it into modern terms, imagine that your phone rings and it's a number that you don't recognize and you pick it up and they're like, this is God and I need you to share a message with the world. This is what a prophet did. They received not a phone call, but like a vision or a dream or something of that nature, something that was undeniably from the Lord, and God expected them to take this revelation, this thing that God had told them, and to go and deliver it to God's people. And this is really important, especially in Old Testament times, because they didn't have a Bible. You know, the book that we know today, you know, this didn't exist. People were literally just sitting around waiting for somebody else to be chosen. And so we have some of these prophets, and a lot of them, like Jeremiah, Isaiah, Ezekiel, they have books named after them, and they're called the major prophets, not because they were more important, but because their books are longer, right? But what did they record in this book? They recorded everything that God told them to say, everything that God revealed to them through their vision or through their whatever means God had chosen, right? But the prophets write down God's words, and then as the people hear God's words and believe them, they're blessed. That's the way it works. But the office of prophet is much different than the office of priest or, New Testament, pastors. You see, the priests of the Old Testament, they were the ones who were at the tent or in the temple. They were the ones who would perform all of the ceremonies and rites and sacrifices and all of the things where the assembly was gathered. That was the priest's job, right? They even had special clothes they were supposed to wear and specific words they were supposed to speak. Just like how pastors today lead a congregation. There are people assembled. A pastor wears specific clothes. There are different rites and ceremonies and confirmations and baptisms and communion and all different things that we do. And the person that God has placed there to lead that is the pastor. But a pastor is not a prophet. At least not in this direct, special sort of revelation thing. You see, God chose his prophets specifically, which means that it doesn't matter. In fact, at one point, God actually spoke through a donkey. Why? Well, because the Lord speaks where and when and through whom he chooses. Prophets could be anybody. But pastors and priests, well, there are very specific requirements for those people. But that brings us back to Anna. Right? Anna is in the temple day and night, prayer, fasting. She didn't want to miss an opportunity. And so the temple, as we understand it, you know, if you think about concentric circles. And so you have the nation of Israel, which was, you know, the place where God's people were supposed to dwell. And then you had Jerusalem, which was the holy city. And then within Jerusalem was the temple. And the temple was the place where God promised his presence would be. And so what is Anna doing, right? She's in God's presence. She doesn't want to miss an opportunity to receive something from the Lord. And the truth is that God doesn't disappoint her. As Anna's been waiting around for who knows how long, until she's 84, all of a sudden, who walks in but the Christ child? She gets to see Jesus with her eyes, being in the presence of God himself as a little tiny baby. What a blessing. I mean, how wonderful is that? And the truth is that God's not done, because then he gives her a job to do. You believe this baby is the Christ, Anna? Well, now it's your job to speak. And it's just like the prophets of the Old Testament. Why? God reveals himself to Anna in the baby Jesus, and she becomes one who uses her voice. And so she spoke of Jesus to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. Well, what does that mean, right? She speaks of redemption. Well, redemption is that word where, you know, if you look at your checkbook and you're in the red a little bit, right, and you want to sort of bring your checkbook back out, that's what redemption is. It means you've been purchased. It means that you have been bought. It means that whatever debt you have, God has canceled it. He's balanced your proverbial checkbook. And who's this redemption for? Jerusalem. The people who are in the city, who are gathered around the presence of God, Jerusalem is you. Anna spoke about how Jesus Christ cancels our sin debt for all of those who remain in his presence, for all of those who believe his words. To put it simply, if you hear the word of God concerning this baby, this Jesus, this Son of God, if you believe that he is the Savior who gives you freedom from sin and death and the devil, I mean, you all want that, right? You are Jerusalem. It means you have a clean slate before God. It means that you are those who are redeemed, purchased, won, forgiven, holy, pure, spotless. How do I know? Anna told me. Remember, Anna's the one who got to see the baby Jesus with her eyes. I haven't. I mean, we got one up here, but it's made out of plastic. None of us have physically seen the baby Jesus, and so as the Gospels continue, this is what they are, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. They're eyewitness accounts from people who actually got to interact and hear Jesus' sermons and witness his miracles, and then they wrote them down. Why? So that you can know it. How do I know that you are redeemed? How do I know that I am redeemed? How do I know Jesus is the Savior of the world? Anna told me. Listen to Anna. She'll tell you of a baby who fulfilled all things according to the law. Even as his earthly parents bring him into the temple, he's doing the law perfectly. Even in infancy, he's a baby appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel. Listen to Anna. She'll tell you of a baby who brings redemption for all of God's people into the whole world. Anna will tell you that Jesus, the baby, was appointed for a specific time and place to live a perfect life, to die an innocent death, and to rise into all eternity. This is what Anna told people. She spoke of a baby who came meek and small and looked just like any other baby that the world has ever seen. Only Anna would also tell you that this baby was God, that he came to live and die and live again. Anna will tell you of a baby of whom it was said, when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that you might receive adoption as sons. Anna knows the truth because she saw it. And she's more than happy to speak to anyone who will listen. She doesn't need a pulpit. She doesn't need special clothes. She doesn't need a congregation. In fact, God doesn't give that to a woman in the Old Testament, nor does he give that to a woman in the New Testament. But he does give her a very important job to do. He gives her the task of speaking of Jesus. And the truth is that no matter who you are sitting in this church today, the Lord has given you a very specific job to do. It's the job of a prophet, to speak of Jesus. And as our epistle said, not just in word, but in word and in deed. And whatever you do, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. Because the truth is that nobody fills your slot in life. Nobody shares your parents and your brothers and sisters and your children and your aunts and uncles and your cousins and everybody whom God has put into your midst. You're the only one who is you. And God has a very special job for each of us to do, to speak of Jesus. Thought, word, deed. But since we're specifically talking about Anna, and Anna specifically is a woman, I think it's only appropriate for us to understand how important women are in the church. Because the truth is that women who believe these promises of Jesus, they run the church. Maybe not from the leadership positions, maybe not from, you know, the president or the pastor or the elders. But the truth is that every time we have the Lord's Supper on our altar, do you know who puts it together? Women. You guys have a bulletin today? You know who makes sure that these are compiled every week? Women. When we have events downstairs, especially surrounded around food, you know who normally is the one in the kitchen? Women. Do you guys know of any woman in your life who's been instrumental in making sure that you are raised in the faith? Because I do. In fact, even as I went through seminary, you know, I got a lot of support from an organization called the Lutheran Women's Missionary League. The truth is that the church would fall apart if it wasn't for women. And I'm not trying to, you know, downplay the role of men, right? Because men have a very important role too. But through Anna, we see how important it is for women to be in the church. For women who have received these promises of Jesus to then go out and show that same love to everyone else. And it's not just for the church either. It's in every aspect of life. You know, admittedly, most of the time, who is it that raises the children? Who is it that's going to get up at 3 in the morning? Who is it that's going to sit by the toddler's bed as they're sick and don't feel well? It's women. Women who reflect the love of Christ to other people. The truth is that women have a very important job. Like Anna. And my friends, like Anna, you have taken the opportunity to be in God's house today. To be in the presence of Jesus. Because that's what hearing God's word is. And as you have received Jesus into your ears, as you rejoice in God's promises of forgiveness and salvation, even in a tiny baby, you have everything the prophetess Anna talked about. Redemption is yours. Freedom is yours. Forgiveness is yours. And now that you've heard it, now that you've believed it, take every opportunity to be like Anna. Speak the words of redemption for the whole world through your crucified and risen Savior, Jesus. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.